Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Good morning.
So this is it. Good morning, Running Commentary. Join us on our gentle taper. We're into the taper now for York.
Yes, we're less than a week from York. You're probably listening to this after York. It's Monday and we're doing that on Sunday. Will this be your last run or...
No.
Another eight runs?
It won't be my last run, but it'll be... I see the last week as tapering with intent.
Yeah.
Like maxi taper.
Yeah.
Nothing over 4 miles this week.
Okay.
I'll probably run tomorrow, rest Wednesday, run Thursday, nothing Friday, and a little bit Saturday.
So how are we going to go? About three or four today?
Yeah, we'll do about three.
And we're in Clissold Park. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's funny because I don't know if you remember, if you've been listening, you'll remember we came here in July and it was just stunning. We were looking out across here.
We did Barbet. Didn't we do Matt Barbet?
That's right. And we also did another one. We went around the parks on a hot day.
Yeah.
And it's just as gorgeous today, actually, although autumn's just kicking in. Right at the beginning of October.
I love running around it because it's really soft underfoot.
Yes.
And then you've got mysterious things like that.
Yeah, that's right. You've got to worry.
The lost scooter.
I mean, that scooter is there with our sinister shadows around it. Is the child in there?
What does the ribbon mean? Oh, that means...
It means the kid whose scooter that is right. In prison. Tie a yellow ribbon round the old scooter. I mean, kid's prison.
Probably
for 3 years.
The yellow ribbon marks the spot.
They don't call it kid's prison anymore, do they?
I'll leave the scooter here to return in 3 years. So just nice and... I think tapering's one of those things that people think too much about, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's another one of those things that people take way too seriously.
If you follow your instincts, you're going to want to taper,
isn't it? Just run loads less in the week before you're going to run 26 miles.
That's right. And I think both sides of it are true as well. Like, ultimately, you're always going to have done enough. If you've trained and you've stopped 2 weeks before the marathon, but before then you've done enough training, you would be all right.
And if you... Well, the thing is...
Well, you wouldn't die, would you?
No.
If you did too much, you're not going to have a great run. But it's not just suddenly going to... You shouldn't turn up on the start line going, I've done too much, you know. No, when I did my long run the other day, I didn't really taper for a 21.
Right.
And that 21 was great. So, it's the same.
Yeah, but it's... I was thinking about that thing about anything you do in the last 2 weeks... It's kind of irrelevant as training.
Yeah.
But no one ever stops running 2 weeks before a marathon.
No.
Because you lose something after 3 or 4 days. You can just feel it a little bit, can't you?
And psychologically,
you lose a bit of fitness.
When you're in that moment of being scared. There's great, sorry, brilliant conkers here. I can't believe no kids have been up.
Conkers
this tree is shedding superb conkers and they're just all over the
ground. Do your kids go for the conkers?
Yeah, we haven't been conkering this year. Look at these guys.
Yeah, they're great. They're great.
They're just sitting there.
I still remember epic conker encounters as a kid.
Yeah.
Were you a vinegarer or a baker?
Let's carry on talking about conkers. Come on.
Did you
I see what you mean. Sorry, I thought you were talking about my techniques. I don't think I ever treated a conker.
Right.
I always wanted to, but that level of tech and faff, you know. And I did have knuckle fear.
We went pretty hard on Concussion Scout. He got pretty intense.
Yeah, well, it's more like, you know, even though we're not that different in age, but generationally and culturally, you know, you were growing up about 100 years before me in Scarborough.
In the 1880s, Concussion was massive.
It was that, or making a hoop roll down the streets of Scarborough with a stick.
I still remember when you got a really small, vicious conker that could take on all comers.
Yeah.
I still remember seeing a massive conker just smash itself against a small, vinegary little
underdog. Yeah. An underdonker, we used to call those.
Yeah.
We didn't, I just coined that then, but that's
good phrase. Good phrase. And we used to go to school with marbles was massive as well. Did you hit the marble craze?
No, as I say, too young for that. We had computers and stuff.
Yeah.
But two magpies over there, morning magpies.
Beautiful.
Two for joy. Do you remember the scene in Amelie when he's got the marbles? That's a great story of going to school.
I don't know that.
He wins all the marbles.
All right, yeah.
And then it's brilliant. And in the next moment, they all hate him because he's won. Right. And he's filling his pockets. And the teacher's going, come on, come on. And then he puts them all in his pockets. And there's hundreds of them because he won them all.
Yeah.
And then his pockets burst. And they all roll across the playground.
That's funny,
everyone else in the class goes,
scatters.
Ooh. Oh, right. It's beautiful, kind of highs and lows of classic childhood.
To me, the marble thing was, even at a young age, I identified the parable of the marbles. The more marbles you had, the less you valued your marbles.
Yeah, right.
So if you had about 10 marbles, then you're a doughty competitor.
Yeah.
Who really wanted to increase your marbles.
But
if you had loads of marbles, then you'd quickly lose them.
And what possible comparison could that have with the rich corporations of today and billionaire individuals? I don't see a link.
Yeah. I remember the massive ball bearings. The whole school would stop and watch these huge battles between two kids with massive ball bearings.
Wait a minute. What are you doing with ball bearings? Surely that's a ringer. You can't bring a ball bearing
no,
into...
No, but they're bringing these huge sort of like boulders that were just, in schoolyard currency, were worth... They were just so cool.
Yeah.
And we just all line up. Have a look.
If anyone listening to this is under 25, they really are, we're joking about it, but they are thinking, what the hell? You're making 40-40 sound like the most sophisticated playground game. The great thing about anything popular, not just games, also fashions, is that the moment anything was any good, it would get banned.
Yeah.
Which, in turn, makes it so cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Marbles, conkers, yo-yos.
Yeah.
Because at school, I was a big yo-yoer.
See? Yeah, yeah, I remember. Yo-yo.
Because I could do it. I did just yo-yo. The irritating thing about yo-yo, like a pogo stick or some of those other classic childhood games, it's not easy. You've got to do a bit of practicing early on.
To
get your rhythm. And I had a boring rainy holiday in Wales and just cracked it. And it just gave me that yo-yo edge for life. And also, I was at a new school and didn't have any friends. So I could just stand around.
You're massive on the yo-yo.
With my yo-yo and one glove.
I'm engaged in yo-yos, yeah.
Yeah. And everyone would look at me going, who's that guy?
Who's that weird kid?
And I thought they were like,
hey,
who's that
good.
Cool guy?
He's pretty good.
Yeah, he's really got something.
Yeah. It's just not mates.
Yeah, that's right. Or taste.
Yeah, yeah. So, how's your training?
Oh, it's really...
Talk to me.
I think, let's look at this. The short answer is, I think actually it's fine.
Okay.
And the marathon's going to go well. And then the other answer is, really bad.
Right.
So we went out for a really nice run with Vassos last Wednesday.
Yeah, that was lovely.
And about a week before that, you were really ill. And I was a bit under the weather.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I've got this cold. And then my whole family got it. And I was like, wow, lucky it didn't hit me so hard. And then I got it. So either it hadn't really come on then or it's a different cold. Anyway.
So it came on post.
My whole family were ill. So my daughter had been at school. Luckily, she got it early because she had a school trip last week.
Okay.
And then my wife was, she was really like, she was off work and like in bed and everything. And then just after, like that night, I woke up in the middle of the night and thought, oh, yep, I'm ill, and went back to sleep.
Oh.
And that's Wednesday night.
Right.
And since then, I've been rough as an old boot. And it's a really irritating cold because it's just slightly intangible.
Okay.
You know, I'm not. It's not the flu. I can carry on. We're running now.
Yeah.
I've been out and done gigs and stuff, and that's quite good as well. The gigs obviously
the gigs
pick you up.
Good old doctor.
But the befores and afters, you know, it's like this kind of thing where I think, yeah, I'll do that, and I walk up a flight of stairs and think,
you just feel like,
oh, and it doesn't even really hurt. It just kind of hurts me in my soul. So I've been feeling quite sorry for myself.
You feel a bit weakened.
Yeah. And I'm kind of assuming I'll be better for the weekend, but equally...
Have you, you been know, doing it so, since last week? Have you done much running?
No exercise.
Right.
Stopped.
Okay.
I kind of, on Friday, I wanted to go for a run, do my exercises, and I was too ill, but I also thought, if I do that, I might...
You don't want to...
...fight this thing off and string it out. Okay. So just let it in, you know. But I don't think it makes any difference. But I'm running
now. You've
got
time to get better.
Yeah, and I've got... I need to do a couple of runs just for my psychological well-being.
Yes, yeah. There's always that thing as well, you think that the last week you're going to put on loads of weight or...
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? That sort of stuff.
Maranoia, are we talking about?
Yes.
Also, you know, it's very depressing for me to get your parkrun results on Saturday. Tell us about that.
Well, I thought I was going to be a bit faster, actually, but anyway, I got a PB... in the Highbury Park run of two seconds.
Yeah.
Smashed it.
Well, as you said, the Highbury Park run is a tough... You've been doing different ones as well. Did you do Birmingham?
No, I did Highbury.
Yeah, but did you do Birmingham the week before?
No, I haven't done it. No, I haven't done it. I've come to the conclusion Highbury's quite a tough little... It's fastish, but not fast.
Yeah.
It's not fast like the other ones are fast. But I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't push it... crazy hard, and I got a PB, so you can't really man, can you?
Is that 18:20?
No, I got 19.
Oh, Highbury Park.
Four, I got a Highbury Park.
Highbury, you still got a minute on a 20, and Highbury is great.
Yeah.
Really good.
I think, as a basic lesson in life, you don't moan if you get a PB.
No, absolutely, and yet...
And yet people do.
Yeah, look, there's another scooter abandoned next to the bush. It's okay, the child is there for that one. It's really gorgeous. That's the Rose Garden.
It's becoming like a movement. Do you think it's some sort of scooters matter or something?
Yeah, I think we should chuck up the scooters and have them hanging over them, telegraph wires.
Yeah. It's really chilling.
These kids playing in these bushes are just fantastic.
They're
stopping again.
Right,
there's this tip tiny Lord of the Flies thing going on here. It's just great. There they are, holding the bushes.
They're having real fun there. I used to, I used to live around here.
Yeah.
And when my kids were that age, I used to be hanging out with them in the park. It was a great lad.
Yeah.
Well, that bloke's just been punched in the head. Did you see him?
No.
He was just holding his jaw, like you hold it when you've been punched in the jaw.
Ah. Well, I was going to say, just before you arrived, I've got into an altercation with an old guy.
Just punched him. Just had to lay him out.
Yeah.
Just got too
well,
much.
Well, he's part of the taper.
I'm tapering.
You know, I've got testosterone.
Yeah.
I've got to put it somewhere.
People really underestimate the effects of just punching strangers in the taper, don't they? Just to get rid of any residual tension.
I always say that when I'm talking to audiences about musical styles, I always talk about if you listen to music, it's too angry, you know, heavy or death metal or really badass hip hop. Then you give you a good energy, but you come up against someone like this lady coming the other way now and she just punch him in the face. One in my pie. And that's not good.
No.
We're just passing the scooter again to give people... So see how far around that is.
Yeah.
Because I've never known exactly
how
far...
Did you clock it? Did you clock it so that would we know? I always thought it's just about a mile around.
Yeah, well, we're about to find out. I don't know, actually, because I didn't actually measure it from the scooter.
Oh, man.
Thinking about it.
Yeah, well, we'll do a few and then we'll... And then we'll just divide it.
So
you just divide it. You see how long you run, then you divide how many times you run around.
So let's just recap on these training runs, right? We ran about 9 on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't run since.
Right.
You're going to not run more than 4 miles, but you're going to run every day, aren't you, this week?
No, I won't. I'm going to take a couple of days completely off, yeah. Because I'm really...
And how many miles did you cover between Wednesday's 9 and the park run on Saturday?
I didn't run on Thursday or Friday.
Good.
So I took it off, and then I ran 8 and a bit yesterday.
Yeah.
So nothing stressful.
No, good.
I'm going to do a little track session tomorrow, but not a full one, just do half a one.
Yeah.
And not many miles there. Just chill out. I haven't even got any gigs. I'm just chilling out and getting early nights and all that stuff.
Yeah. It's great, because obviously you don't need to pay the mortgage or anything.
Well, you'll be
travelling
around the country.
This not doing gigs thing is not something that's
crossed my mind, shall we say, particularly in the month after Edinburgh. Somebody pay me! So where you, have you got a busy week then or what?
I went to Guildford on Thursday.
Right.
And I genuinely thought about knocking that on the head because I was
ill
enough, which is...
Which for you is massive.
Yeah, in this...
Hearing always shows.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, and sure enough, I did.
Yeah.
And then I had a long drive on. It wasn't that long a drive. I had to go to Newbury on Friday night.
Nice gig, that one.
Corn Exchange, really nice.
Yeah.
But it did throw my condition into sharp relief because I got there. Drive was a bit miserable. Felt rubbish. Walked around in Newbury. All the shops are closed.
Right.
I really despaired of the state of modern Britain.
That it
in
was
a variety
shut at that
of specific
time.
Ways.
Yeah.
And then did the gig. Absolutely lovely. Which was nice, you know.
Yeah, of course.
I was able, found myself complicatedly able to dismiss that.
Right.
You know, particularly as on what should have been an hour and a half drive back took me 3 hours because the roads were closed.
Oh,
instead of being home, like I thought it was going to be, between 12 and 1,
right.
I was just in a stationary car behind some buildings in Acton because the A40 was closed, listening to a programme on Radio 4, which is Gary Young's book, which investigates the actual lives of kids who've been shot in America.
I've read that.
Every day for a year.
I've read that book, yeah.
Yeah, it's not a happy book, is it?
It's not a happy book. No, it's an important and serious book, but
yes.
Not a happy book, no.
No. So,
I imagine you kind of imagined or hoped you had a gun in your glove compartment at that moment.
Yeah, though. Yeah.
Just set you off into the night.
Yeah, but I wouldn't have heard because we live in Europe where it's not allowed.
Which results in way less people dying of gun violence.
Yeah, no, it's really compelling stuff, but so
really
awful.
Sad, really sad.
And as discussed, you know, it's highs and lows and being ill. It just took me to the very brink of the abyss.
Well,
I thought when I got up on Saturday morning, I just thought I was going to say to these guys, I'm not going to come back. I was amazed on Saturday that my family's ability to make me forget the low point I'd been at, you know.
That's what they're good for.
I wanted to leave the car there and just walk away. I wanted to just open the car
just
door and act.
Yeah.
I think if we'd been 2 miles closer to my house, that would have actually happened.
It's that sense of time wasted as well, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I'm really knackered. It's late. I'm in traffic.
Yeah, and you start towing it up.
It's so late as well.
And after that many years, you're totting up.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm getting a picture of this. You're totting up. How many hours have you spent like that in your life?
Yeah.
Have you seen this? This is Church Street Church across the park. That's just incredible.
And,
just got it.
And it's a lot.
And there's Paul Tonkinson in his yellow jumper, which is equally beautiful.
And it's a lot, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I was saying to one of the comedians, Susan Murray, saying the other day the European courts keep mentioning Europe.
Yeah.
Shouldn't bother because, you know, we're out now. Theresa May's going to make it happen.
Yeah.
And they keep talking about hard Brexit, which is pure PR. They say we don't want hard Brexit. This is to make soft Brexit seem like a good idea to both people who want a really serious Brexit.
Yeah.
People who think it's a terrible idea.
Well,
Brexit isn't a thing, doesn't it?
We all know Brexit's Brexit.
Yeah.
That's the only thing it is.
And also, from a PR point of view, loads of people just think it's happened now.
Yeah.
And so in a way, they're right. Spiritually, it has. Profoundly depressing. But anyway, so, European court said
that... I thought you'd quite like this sort of anti-EU thing, because we won't be measuring marathons and kilometres anymore. Straight back to the old miles.
Well, actually, I don't consider what Britain needs directly in terms of my own selfish personal needs.
What? Come on, Rob.
Because I'm a socialist. Yeah, that's right. Said it,
mate. You're out.
And let's not forget my eating habits. You know what I mean? I keep some of this stuff under my hat, otherwise everyone's going to really hate me. European courts said that work, journeying to and from work,
should be
counts as work.
Brilliant.
And that means that comedians
are massively
working, underpaid. Yeah, we're working about 1,000% harder overnight.
Yeah.
We've gone from 20 minutes a day to 9 hours.
It would be great if we got paid on the night hours.
Yeah. Well, we kind of do. I mean, we're very well paid for the bit where we actually do
the work.
Of course,
we've got the intense bit there.
Yeah. although some people aren't, and some other people don't like those comedians for accepting that work because it undercuts the entire market.
Yes, yeah.
So, you know,
there's a battle going on, isn't there?
We're not beyond the squeeze of international finance. Sorry.
Well, I did a comedy club in Birmingham that should remain nameless. The Glee Club.
Yeah.
And which is a great club.
Yeah, do you know
what I don't know the name of it.
Remain nameless means.
But it's no... Well, the truth is I got paid more to play there in 1995.
Yeah.
So that's a bit odd, isn't it?
It's funny, isn't it, when in the news they say nurses are only getting a 1% pay increase, and you think, oh,
we'd love a 1%.
That's so unfair, and then you remember that comedians have literally never had a pay increase. We don't... Pay increase in line with inflation simply doesn't exist. And then you have things like, remember the January before last, I went to the petrol station and my tank of petrol cost twice as much.
Yeah.
I was like, oh...
Brilliant.
Oh, I see.
See, yeah, this
well,
is...
I just lost 40 quid off my wages for this gig.
But listen, you can't put a price on laughter. When people laugh, that fills our spiritual psychic bank account.
Absolutely.
We don't need money. We don't need money for petrol or food.
But
or
I
said,
I would never complain about getting to do what I do. It's so fantastic. And
it is
fantastic. And I've tested that very theory this weekend by just sort of dragging myself out of a tissue strewn space and B, you know, the despair at the edge of the abyss, and just walked out on stage. And like, Saturday night, you know, this is after the whole act.
And where was that? Where did you
play? I was at the boat show on the River Thames.
Really nice gig.
Yeah, but I didn't bring anything to it. Do you know what I mean? It was a complete gift from the world of comedy to me, because 1 minute before I went on stage, I just sitting backstage thinking, not really thinking about what he's going to say or anything.
We're on a boat.
Not dreading it or anything, but just not in any way pumped. No engagement with it at all.
Yeah.
I just let the moment take me. And it was wonderful. It's 20 minutes of wonder. It's good medicine.
I always equate that moment of going on stage, that moment when you're not there.
Yeah.
And then... You get announced and then you go on. There's like a sort of half second when you realise, oh, I'm on stage now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is completely different.
That's right.
I sort of equate that a little bit with the start of a race.
Yep.
You're all laying around waiting for the race. You know what running is. You've done it before.
Yeah.
But then the gun goes and suddenly, oh, this is different.
Yeah,
do you know
yeah,
what I
yeah.
mean? It's a different...
Well, it's like writing a joke or doing a gig or having
Should
a...
Should do just one more lap, nice and gentle.
Yeah, we're round... Just about twice now.
We're just lapping and chatting. We're not doing big mileage.
I'd do it for you, though. I would never go round and round the park.
See, I don't mind the other lap.
I've got a problem with repetition.
Yeah.
I've got a problem with repetition.
You've got a problem.
I've got a bit of a problem with repetition. I get freaked out a little bit by repetition. I get freaked out!
Happening again. Same thing happening again.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So,
So,
you know when you have a baby, or rather, We don't.
Yes.
But you know when your partner is expecting a baby.
Oh yeah.
And you know
you know about it. Yeah.
You know everything about it, right? Yeah. You've got this baby. I mean, like when my wife was pregnant with my son.
Yeah.
He was like a. We quite often saw his hands and feet pressing against her stomach, you know. So he's right
Amazing.
There. It was an incredible thing. And yet, the difference between having a baby that is physically there in the room, but also in the mother.
Yeah.
And then having a baby there in your arms, it's totally different.
It's a big difference.
It's not like slightly different. It's two different realities.
Yeah.
And that's like you said, it's the difference between just being about to be on stage.
And being on stage.
Being on stage. And another way, as a comedian, you get it is when someone shows you a photo of a gig you did, and you remember what it looked like from your point of view.
Yes.
They're just, the two things don't totally relate. Yeah. Or, I think that's a great comparison with a run, because you were saying, Scooter,
here we
it's
go.
Once, twice.
Three times a Scooter.
Do a little bit of scooting for me. Maybe that'll bring the kid running back. You're going to break it! Okay, so... I think that's very good to compare that with a run, because with gigs, I'm very, I think the first 30 seconds is really important, and it's important as distinct from almost everything everyone talks about. Like, you need to meet the audience before you really hit your material.
Yes, yeah.
You know, that's a moment of engagement, and I think a lot of people who talk about comedy forget the reverse of that, that an audience needs to get an idea of who you are before you start talking to them.
Yeah.
And
which is why I immediately start punching the first bloke I see.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to set a marker
there. You're punchy, aren't you?
I'm not to be messed with. Especially mid-taper.
I think you're confusing comedy gigs with prison.
Make your mark, mate. Make your mark. Get the biggest bloke. Just repeatedly punch until the bouncers drag you off.
That was her.
Hello!
For keen comedy and running commentary listeners, that was an over... that was a callback to a different running commentary, which is, you know, sophisticated stuff. And then we both managed to run past that next runner without either of us punching her. I think we're very strong.
We're doing really well.
Really holding back.
We're doing really well. And you're suddenly running. That first... Just getting that first mile or so in a marathon. It's quite crucial in a way, the first mile. I mean, just not to do anything to... Just not to set off way too fast.
Yeah, and when you've got a bit of distance in you, like we have, like anyone who's trained in any way properly has, it's amazing how far that can go.
Yeah.
I think you should kind of see how far you can get before you even consider the fact you're in a marathon.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, don't get me wrong, you want to be doing the right kind of running, but let's assume that you are, you're not going ridiculously fast or stopping or whatever. Then you can get to like 10 miles before you even need to have a dialogue with yourself about what's happening.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
It's amazing.
It's just about trying to get through the early miles with...
It's just kind of infinite. You know, if you're running 100 miles, then you're not even running the run till you've run the first 50.
Yeah.
So use that.
Chill out. Yeah. Chill out in the first bit.
I did... when I was running in Glasgow the other day, there was this guy who overtook me. And
Training?
It's like that, is it?
When you're training?
Yeah, I was training. Right. And I had a few other runners. There's a few other runners around. I ran kind of late morning. And I was running in a really nice running environment. And as lunchtime kicked in.
Okay.
A few magpies again. One magpies. Right. Same ones. Cool. A few runners turned up. And, you know, I found that quite useful. Come back along the Clyde, I saw three proper runners up ahead of me. I could tell I was going faster and then not much.
Yeah.
So I did this thing where I didn't force myself not to try and quickly get past them.
Right.
Watch myself gently overtake
you just gradually,
them.
Gradually, yeah, yeah.
Realised that was a good energy, etc.
Flicked them the V's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chipped them up.
Just a subtle middle finger while scratching your head as you pass them.
You only need to hook one of their feet to make all six feet hook up and all three go down.
Yeah.
But, and then later on.
Quick.
So I'd had this whole thing about training and off the other people and stuff. And then this bloke overtook me. And I thought to myself, I wonder if he's really going faster than me or if he's going to do that thing like happened just down here the other day, actually, where you come past me and you go, and then immediately stop. You think, well, that's your journey, you know.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But this guy, this is all my problem, my ego, because he was going faster than me. And
was he a guy who you'd overtaken?
No, no.
Right, okay, so this is
never seen
it
before, so there was no race.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You
yeah.
know, he just was going past me,
yeah.
came past me. I tried to get back past him, but without sprinting, and I couldn't because he was going faster than me.
Right.
But I was right to think about it because I think he was running really hard as well. He was suffering more than me. He was less steady.
Right.
He was giving a lot of sweat and really, he looked tired.
Yeah.
But I think that was because he knew how to run harder than me for a long time.
Yeah,
maybe. Because he just got further and further away from me. He didn't stop. I was behind him for a good half a mile, maybe
just
a mile.
Motor on, yeah.
And, but you know what? Aside from all that, the thing, I didn't envy him. And I was joking about repetition and stuff. Just, do you remember when I was joking about repetition?
Yes, I remember that.
Saying about repetition.
You don't like repetition.
Repetition freaks me out! He looked at his watch. Right?
Yeah.
How often would you say he looked at his watch?
What, in the half a mile?
Yeah.
Four times?
No. He looked at his watch about every six paces.
Wow.
I would say.
Wow, that's a bit intense, isn't it?
Oh, gosh!
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I would go insane!
Yeah, he's going nuts.
It made me so happy I haven't got a watch. Because I'm not saying I wouldn't.
Yes.
I think that would be me if it was there.
Especially if you're pushing it. He might be doing time splits or something or whatever, but it's still hard work, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if it's useful information, that's something. I doubt he was just obsessing. I mean, this guy was doing a really good training run. But still.
There was a guy, it's funny how seriously people take it. I mean, you know, people want to do well and they express that in different ways. Did the park run on Saturday. Good fun, enjoyed it. Competitive.
Yep.
Had to really sprint the last 50 yards so that two people didn't overtake me, one on each side.
Right, they were really pushing you.
Which is the equivalent on that course of having your pocket picked, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a bit
the last 50
to me,
yards.
Isn't it? On the grass there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I did it.
Yeah, well done.
And it was just a good laugh. And then this guy came in a bit later, sort of yelping in glee as he... As he went, came through the funnel, just going, yes, yeah, yeah, sort of hopping and sort of almost karate kicking the air next.
Yeah,
yeah, and PB smashed it. And it was like, it was great, but it just felt a little bit, I don't know.
Well, I think
just a bit intense, you know.
I know what you're saying. I think you've got to let him have it.
Oh, absolutely.
If he's broken his 20.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know if what he'd done, but...
He might have been trying to break 20 for like 100 runs.
But it's that kind of...
missed it last week because of some kind of freak's stumble 2 seconds before the end.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, yeah.
But
it's also felt a bit part of that sort of slightly neurotic, slightly wound up North London thing.
The whole thing's kind of right on the line, isn't it?
It can be, yeah.
You know, on the one hand, this guy going past me, total respect.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, look at him sweating and look at what you think, all right, mate, calm down.
Yeah, I mean, but
then I would always say that about someone going faster than me. You had the advantage of having already finished.
Yeah, I suppose what I'm saying is that I totally relate to a competition.
Yeah.
And wanting to run as fast as you can. And other people help you do that.
Yeah.
You know. But I suppose I'm not that big on the just post-run shenanigans. Are those people who collapse to the floor go, oh!
Yeah.
Oh! Yeah. Oh! You get a few of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Really annoying me.
Oh, the hands on the knees and the heavy breathing.
Yeah.
I always respect the funnel. You know, just keep moving forward.
You've got to respect the funnel.
Yeah.
But those guys, some guys that breathe so heavily and anguishly, it makes you just want to let them just beat you.
It certainly
just
makes
it.
You,
I can't be arsed with it.
It certainly makes you want to wear headphones.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to see the Venn diagram. I know there's been some discussion. I know there's people who would. I respect people who strongly disapprove of headphones. But if any one of them is that guy in Harrogate with the breathing.
Yeah.
And it probably is, because that's the run for people who disapprove of headphones. And in my experience. And this guy on that. And this is early on. I mean, it took 3-4 K into a 10 K. And he'd settle into a nice steady on his out breath. And it helped me get an excellent time, because you really had to get so far ahead of him not to
so
hear
you
it.
You couldn't hear it, yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, shut up over the engine.
It's funny the breathing thing, that's just. Try to breathe a bit deeper every now and again when you're running, or try and It's great when it feels exactly right, isn't it?
Yeah. But and also, you've got the training and experience to judge whether it's appropriate or not. You know, with me, I always have to say, this might be a guy who knows what he's doing while you don't.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, let him have it.
Yeah. I don't mind irregular. I don't mind.
Okay, now listen. This is three times round. Are you sure you don't want to go four?
I'm all right with three, actually. Yeah. If you want to do four for psychological reasons, we can do four. So you feel a bit better.
Let's do four.
Okay, cool.
Can you really do it? Because yeah, I don't want to. Now, it seems ridiculous with your training schedule that you would turn around and say, oh no, this last one is too much. No. Oh, look at these deer. We've just seen the stags. The antlers, the shady antlers in there. We saw deer in Richmond Park with us last week.
Beautiful,
but I tried to get a picture, but they were too far away. Let me see if I can get these guys. Oh dear. Look at these. Wonderful. So, total respect, don't get us wrong, to breathers, to...
I'm not suggesting that we stop breathing.
No, we're pro-breathing during running.
It just feels a little bit... It feels a little bit showboaty.
Yeah.
I think maybe it's just because I'm a sort of big remains of the day fan. I like reticence.
Yeah, yeah. I like
holding it in.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, there's no... The great thing about holding in all your feelings and emotions, there's no downside.
No, absolutely not.
Have you seen the...
Yes!
Serenity Now.
Yes, yes!
Episode of Seinfeld.
I haven't seen it.
Okay, Seinfeld's... George's dad...
Yeah.
Comes up with a... I'm mixing it up, actually, because he's got his own Christmas-type festival called Festivus.
Right. Like, where they, yeah.
Where they have to have feats of strength after lunch.
Okay.
He also has... He promotes this... He embraces this philosophy.
Yeah.
Where whenever he's upset about anything... You know, he's a very angry little man. And whenever he's upset about anything, he just says... Serenity Now. And he just swallows it back. And George hates this, you know.
Yeah.
And then later on they talk to, I think it's the guy who started it, or a psychologist or something. And he says, oh no, that's a terrible idea. Because all you're doing is just swallowing it all back and it's just going to build up. And sooner or later, it's like a pressure cooker. And then, meanwhile, catalogue of bad things happen to George's dad, who's played by Jerry Stiller, Ben Stiller's dad. And he kind of bursts, but he's still saying it. So he goes, Serenity Now! Serenity Now! Serenity Now! So that's what's going to happen to you in York on Sunday.
Yeah, I like to... You kind of... In some respects, I suppose, I think it's just wasted energy.
Yeah.
I like to hold it back and give it to the run, you know.
Yeah.
To kind of... But each to his own, you know. I mean, everyone's different.
I also think that, you know, not to... This is in no way... what am I trying to say? You are a sanguine person.
Yes, yeah.
And it's your prerogative to not...
To be that, yeah.
And also to not be objective about that.
Yeah, I suppose so.
You don't have to pretend you're not.
Yeah.
So as to empathise with people who aren't. But, you know... You're on a very even keel.
I try and be fairly mellow.
Yeah.
I also think, and this is serious, I don't think you believe me, that I don't actually hurt myself as much as some people do when they race.
Yeah.
It's like, some people really do put themselves through it.
Yeah.
I obviously hurt myself to an extent, but I can walk away after marathons. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm in pain, but I can do it. And no, some I people think that can't.
There are two levels to this. I think it's true. I think all year round, you know, everyone's listened to our conversation about your stretching, and you're like, yeah, I've been doing a bit of stretching. If I didn't do my stretching properly every time, I can't run.
Yeah.
So you, on the one hand, the kind of easy end of things, you've got a machine that ticks over.
Yeah.
But equally, quite rightly, when you do a big run, it's not like you're not going for time or pacing yourself out, running hard. But like you say, you don't break yourself on it.
Yeah.
And I think that's where both of us are at. You know, bringing the mighty offstage Mickey D. You know, if I say to him today on Facebook, got this marathon coming up on Sunday, he's going to say, ah, pain. Enjoy that pain. Lean into the pain. It's going to hurt. And I don't think of it that way at all.
Well, I know.
I'd rather it didn't hurt.
See, I know it's going to hurt, but I concentrate on accepting it, not fighting it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the energy you spend fighting it is...
But I think also maybe he's not so much talking about fighting it as using it.
Yeah.
And I don't think that I would use it either. I'd just run past it.
Or just feel really bad and slow down. I mean, that tends to be my basic tactic when it really is.
I don't think that counts as a tactic.
I mean, I go to the Heathside to do these track sessions.
Yeah.
And I notice the people who are faster than me, they're hurting more.
Yeah.
They're better runners than me. Naturally, they're better runners. But part of it also is they get used to pain management.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was chatting to one kid, and he had to pull up halfway through a sprint session.
I shouldn't have been in a car in the first place.
Yeah, yeah.
Have I misunderstood the pull-up?
And I said to him, are you okay? He said, I had to stop, I just couldn't see. I was like, what? He said, yeah, sometimes when I push it so hard, I just can't see. I mean, I never get to that.
No, and you shouldn't.
He's a very, very quick 800 metre runner. I mean, he's he's a proper athlete. You know.
But also, you know, when you do these runs, let's get a selfie with this fountain behind us.
Cool.
When we do these runs, right, you know, we very much would run in commentary. You know, we come across as the fairly obsessed with running people we are. And you're blocking the fountain, mate. There you go. Look, get between the... There you go. He's ready to punch me. Look at that. You know, I love running. But like all the things I do, I want it to be part of my three-dimensional experience. I want to be a well-rounded person.
Yes.
I don't want to do it. It's like when we say runners don't come to comedy gigs because they go to bed because they're running the next day. I totally respect that. If running is your thing, yeah, and all you really do is
get ready for the next
your
run.
Job and you're running,
yeah,
then that's brilliant. But that is not me.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's just because of the rhythm of my life. It's because I'm too greedy. I want to be doing a bunch of different things. And the analogy for me is quiz shows. I want to be great at quizzes. And you see people on quizzes and they're brilliant.
And they devote themselves to quizzes.
Yeah, and you look at someone winning 15-1, or, oh, God, that dog scared the living crap out of me. The black dog in the bushes.
Dog.
Yeah, if I watch someone winning, I mean, really a top end, like an egghead person.
Right.
You watch them win, I think that is amazing. But I can't respect them unless they look like they could walk out at the end of the day and people wouldn't know.
And have a conversation.
I mean? Yeah. If you can win a quiz, but you look like until that quiz, you've been living underground,
yeah,
then you're giving too
weird,
much
isn't
to it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In my book.
But that's just you, isn't it?
Yeah.
The guy who's winning the quiz is thinking, who cares, I'm winning the quiz.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the people who give total hours and hours to running, and they get that sort of thin, haunted look.
Yeah.
On another level, they're closest to that joy of what continuous running is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Completely. And we do respect them, don't we? It's just not us.
Yeah.
No, it's okay.
It's not us yet. It might be me.
Yeah, it could be.
I might go long.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're going to start to regret all these other things in your life.
Yeah. Yeah. And just then, go along, just jettison the wife and kids.
You'll just be gumping it more and more, and I won't. And I'll say, you know, I'll be saying, oh, I had a couple of martinis yesterday, the kids are on a trip. And I say, what have you been doing? I says, I've just been running across America. When I got hungry, I ate.
I've got a backpack and a mat.
When I was tired, I slept.
Yeah. I love that.
Did you, talking of alcohol?
Yeah.
Have you got anything you want to tell us?
Well, I'll tell you what, I texted you last night to arrange this.
Less than a week from the marathon, yeah?
I texted you last night saying that we were launching into the third bottle last night, me and the wife.
Yeah.
But we didn't finish it.
Yes!
For me, that's sacrifice. We did not finish the third bottle.
Oh, good work.
It got to the point where my wife was asleep.
Yeah.
I'm sort of enjoying the wine, but not really. And there's a good half the bottle left.
Yeah.
Now, normally at that point, I'd just push through.
Yeah, yeah.
Why not? You're drunk already. Let's get really drunk.
It's hard not to finish the wine when you've had wine.
But I didn't.
Oh, that's
great. I thought of the marathon. That's sacrifice, surely. That's right up there.
Oh, God, that bin. We were a long way from that bin lorry, and it smells. I feel like I'm sucking the inside of the bins they're emptying. That stinks, doesn't it? Or can you not smell that? That's killing me. I've got to share that with the listeners because we can't actually enrich the podcast with smells yet.
So we're coming to the end of the marathon taper.
Yeah.
Let's refresh goals.
I just want to say before we do, I love the way how much commitment leaving that half after 2.5 what was one.
Yeah.
Felt with related to marathon kind of illustrates exactly how committed we are to running brilliantly.
It's also part of the taper, isn't it?
Absolutely.
We're tapering the alcohol to the day itself.
So
refreshing and revisiting of goals.
Yep.
What's your body? What's happening with your body at the moment?
Well, I'm absolutely twin-headed about this whole thing.
Right.
Part of me thinks, oh, this cold is not going to be better. I've had some terrible marathons. I've been remembering Boston. My right thigh hurts. My left knee hurts.
You've been remembering Boston?
Sorry, God, that's dark, isn't it? I meant Berlin.
No, it's not dark. It means you want to run Boston. We should run Boston.
Yeah, that's
a good marathon to run.
But anyway,
but you've been remembering Berlin.
You know, I've been looking at misery. I've been looking at pain. I've been doubting every fibre of my being. But I also know at another level, I'm going to put all that to one side. And in the wider scheme of things, A, what I think doesn't matter. B, I'm fit for it.
Yeah.
C, these achy legs and stuff, they'll be fine. They'll hurt afterwards. They'll hurt during, but they're not going to stop me running. And I feel good. My aim, my fundamental rule is I'm going to run all the way.
Cool. That'll be fantastic.
Yeah, it used to be my rule, and I'm bringing it back.
Yeah.
Look at that, Church, there. What about you?
I want to have a good taper. I want to really relax this week and chill out.
Yeah, and eat some nice brown rice.
Eat some nice brown rice. Get some nice early nights. No booze. No punching. No fights. And
I'm listening, by the way. I'm just sorting this camera.
And I want to do something around between 3 hours and 3:05. And if it goes really well, you know, beat 3. But I sense anything. If I get a PB, it'd be incredible.
Yep.
Which would be sub 3:09.
I think very slowly and logically to this point where you're saying, I'd love a 3, I should get 3:05.
Yes.
And I'm saying, I'd love 3:15 again and I should get 3:20.
Yeah.
And I think that in a way, you know, it's like we say, whatever we think now, wherever we're at with our tapers aren't wildly off, I will be better. So that is what is reasonable for us to expect.
Just rest up, yeah. And the great thing is, by the end of it, you'll have done a marathon.
Yeah,
that's the great thing about it. It's like having something in the bank, isn't it? We're going to do a marathon. It's so exciting.
Yeah.
It's always a wild experience.
It's wonderful. And it's nice with it. And do get in touch because it's so nice because it's online now. Everyone else is getting ready for it.
And we'll be hanging out with a running commentary headset. So come and say hello.
Yeah, hello.
How far were we running?
9.5 minute miles and we ran 4.5 of them. So we've been running.
We ran 4.5 miles.
Yeah.
Cool.
How's that for you?
It's great. So it's a little bit over a mile round then.
That's right.
Awesome!
With Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Ka-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-ta-pung-